If you call yourself a Jew, if you rely on the law and boast in God, if you know his will and approve of what is superior because you are instructed by the law, if you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind, a light for those who are in the dark, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of little children, because you have the law, the embodiment of knowledge and truth, you then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that people should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? It is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Circumcision has value if you observe the law, but if you break the law, you have become as though you had not been circumcised. So then, if those who are not circumcised keep the law's commandments, will they not be regarded as though they were circumcised? The one who is not circumcised physically and yet obeys the law will condemn you who, even though you have the written code and circumcision, are a lawbreaker. A person is not a Jew who is one only outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a person's praise is not from other people, but from God. Circumcision. So, a lot of you know that being a Jew, there are certain rules and regulations. Circumcision goes back to Abraham, and it was a symbol that was marking God's people. It was a symbol that was saying, God is saying, I am yours, and you are mine. That's all it was. It was a promise. It was a deal. To sum this whole scripture up, I could really just say this. Religion cannot save you. It's a relationship with Jesus. Religion cannot save you. It's a relationship with Jesus. This whole section is talking about the heart. Your heart. What you think. How compassionate you are, how much love you show, who you are when no one's looking. Are you growing in your walk with God? The heart here, your soul, who you are. Now, that doesn't mean that you're perfect. Because here's where we run into the problem. The religious people of the time thought you had to be perfect by following the rules. If you do this, and you do that, and you do one more thing, and yes, circumcision, then guess what? You are marked and you're God's people. I can act however I want to. I can do whatever I want to do. And it doesn't matter, because I look the part. So, when we look at this scripture, he is talking to the Jews in Rome, because there was a problem. When they converted, they brought a lot of that stuff with them, that you have to look the part, you have to be the part. And we're going to get into that. So there's three thoughts in this scripture that I want to talk to you about today. I want to say to you today that acting like a Christian doesn't make you one. Acting like a believer doesn't make you one. You can do all the right things, and the Jewish people did. They did. And this isn't anti-Jewish people. It's just they were being converted. And so when a Gentile would come in, so a Gentile is basically anybody else that's not Jewish, would come into their church, there were things that they didn't like about them. And so let's cross-reference that today with when someone comes into the church and they don't know all the rules. They don't act like a Christian. They've got tattoos. No. I put Hebrew on my arm just because I wanted to show God that I love him. If you don't like tattoos, don't get a tattoo. If you don't like needles, I suggest you don't. If you're queasy and it hurts, this one especially, hurt a lot. Have you ever been pinched? Try that for 3 hours. Hurts. But I'm sick. I like that stuff. The point is, if someone walks in tattooed up to their neck, pierced everywhere, what does it matter? They don't have to act like us. If somebody comes in and they swear, no, they said a bad word. People, it's not the end of the world. Where's their heart? Where is their heart at? What are they like? Do they love Jesus? Do they love people? It doesn't matter. Swearing is not the best thing to do, but it's not a big deal. I am around it all the time. Michelle? No, I'm kidding. It's not Michelle. She swears at me constantly. But when you're out in the real world and somebody curses, it doesn't bother me. I actually kind of laugh because some people are very creative with their swear words. It's almost like poetry as it flows. I'm like, have you thought about writing that down? Because that's good. It's horrifically horrible, but wow, you are a talented and impressive person. And sometimes you just don't know how they can fit so many swear words in one sentence. And you know what they're saying. You understand it. Again, if somebody is a smoker, whatever, doesn't matter. Yeah, it's a problem, health-wise. Does it make them a bad person? No, it doesn't. It doesn't make them a bad person. So don't take it up now just because we said it doesn't make you a bad person. Say, well, you know, Pastor Mark said smoking's no big deal, so light them up. Light them if you got them. No. But I'm saying that doesn't change the heart. And there's so many other things I could bring up. I'm not going to go anywhere else today with that. But there's so many other things that people may do that doesn't make them a bad person. They're still okay. But because they don't look like us, because they don't act like us. And acting is a problem because sometimes we're really good at acting. And so if you are not a believer in Jesus, or you're on a journey and you're thinking about it, and someone from the church has harmed you, I apologize to you for them. If you are a Christian here today and you've been a believer for a while, and someone who is a Christian has insulted you or hurt you, I apologize to you for them as well today. Because they're not perfect, and neither are you. And this is where we get our problem. Acting like a Christian. Some people prefer a style. It's a style. It's not written in stone. You don't have to wear a suit and tie, obviously, here. But if you wanted to, do it. If you like it, right on. I'm with you. I love a suit and tie every now and then. I like to look pretty sometimes. I like to do that. I like to go out, get all done up. And other times, I don't. It doesn't matter. Just please wear something. And so acting like one, whether or not you think that it's supposed to be this way or that way, no. When people come in, we welcome them. Here at Westwinds, we welcome them. Secondly, looking like a Christian. So circumcision was mostly about looking like you were religious. It doesn't make you a believer. And circumcision goes back to Genesis. It was that covenant that we just talked about. It was a deal. God said, you have a relationship with me, I'll have a relationship with you. And over time, and you've been there and you've seen it. Over time, as you're a Christian, you start to become Christianized. There's certain words that you use that no one else uses. And they don't know what it means. Now, if you're a seminary student or even a Bible college student, you use even weirder words like homiletics and apologetics and all these other strange words. And everybody's like, I'm not sorry. What do you mean? Why am I apologizing? Apologetics? Homiletics, hermeneutics. Bunch of weirdos. But it all means something. It's the same in the church. We come into the church, and over time, we start to feel like we need to look a certain way, act a certain way. And this is what happened with the Jews. They were trying to tell all the people that were not Jewish that had become saved coming into the church, they were trying to tell them that they had to act a certain way. And that's not what it was about. And there's a quote. We don't have to look the part. And this is a he's a blogger. He's a doctor. It's Preston Sprinkle. And he says this: you cannot sanitize grace. You can't stuff it into a blue blazer and make it wear khakis. Grace is messy, offensive, and sometimes it misses church. To expect God to pump prefabricated plastic moral people out of a religious factory is to neuter grace and chain it inside a gated community. He says we should be patient or repentant when such sanctification doesn't meet our expectations. God meets us in our mess and pushes holiness out the other side. You were messy once. Some of you still more than others. But we're all messy. We all go back to bad habits. Why? Because it's easy. It's easy to go back to bad habits. But church is messy. People are messy. Lives are messy. And Paul is saying in this scripture, they're messy people. They're not perfect. Don't have all this knowledge. And don't have God's word and hide it by not telling them, and hide it by not acting like you should, by not being love, by not being circumcised of the heart. Change inside. And all the way back in the Old Testament, God said, I'm going to circumcise your heart. This isn't new. This isn't something that the New Testament pulled up out of nowhere. This was from the Old Testament. As a child, my parents separated, and I went to church with my mother. Now, what are we looking at? 30 years ago or more, a little bit more. We went to a church, walked in. My mother was a divorcee. That was frowned upon in the church. She had to sit in the back row. Nobody spoke to her. And nobody knew that I was her kid, because she would drop me off, I'd go to my thing, and she would go sit in the service. But she made sure that I went to church, even though people wouldn't speak to her. Divorcees were not allowed to volunteer. They were not allowed to serve the church. Yeah, it was a time. That's fine, whatever. But just so you know, that's not the case here. It may be elsewhere, but it's not the case here. Just because something happened in your past that didn't work doesn't mean we throw you out and forget about you and say you can't be used. I knew a man in my same church at the time who was an incredible vocalist. Incredible. And no, I'm not talking about myself. It's somebody else. I just want to clear that up. There's no like. I loved singing with him. We sang, we were in choir, we were in all sorts of stuff. He had solos all the time. Just incredible. His wife left him. They got divorced. He couldn't sing anymore. They wouldn't let him sing. Why? Because of one mistake. Because of something that happened. Wasn't his fault. Story goes on. Doesn't matter. The point is, wasn't allowed to sing. We didn't look the part when my mom and I went to church. I was on welfare. I had $3 Woolco shoes, Velcro, just in case I, couldn't tie them up, but they were $3. I didn't look the part. If I got a new jacket, that's all I got. Didn't look the part. I went to Crusaders. You couldn't get away with doing that now. I can't call anything Crusaders. It's got kind of a bad past. But we had a group called Crusaders, and you do your Bible stuff and whatever. She made sure I went to that. Then she made sure I went to youth group. Nobody knew who she was until I get lead roles in all the plays and I'm singing. And they're like, who's this person? Where's his family? Well, she's right there. That's it. She's over there. That's my family. So there was a point in not letting other people change who she was, even if they wouldn't let her do anything. Other people didn't have the impact. And what's happening in this church in Romans is that people are not being allowed to do things because they don't look right, they don't act right. And God is saying, you need to have a circumcision of the heart. You need a change of the heart. And that comes to our third thought out of all this, is only having a relationship with Jesus makes you a Christian. No, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code, which would be the law or the Old Testament, the written code. Such a person's praises is not from other people, but from God. You don't do anything because someone else tells you. You do it because God is directing you. You do it because God wants you in that direction. Other people, yes, we can use their guidance. We can use them, and they can help us, help direct us. But God is ultimately the one that directs you. No one else. When Paul uses this term, circumcision of the heart, like I explained earlier, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6, it says, "The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live." So that you may love him. So that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. Circumcision of the heart, change of the heart. God has always wanted more from his people than just following the rules. He didn't make the rules just to follow them. He made it to organize it. But he wanted your heart. He wanted you. He has always wanted his people to possess a heart that loves, that knows him, and wants to follow him. That's why God is not concerned with circumcision of the flesh. He's not concerned with how you look. He's not concerned with how you act. He'll work on that, but he's not concerned with that at this point. Even in the Old Testament, he talks about circumcision of the heart. So it can't be just a new thing. The heart needs to be changed. It needs to love him. And then Scripture also talks about, by the things that you do, they will know that you were followers of me. That is what it's talking about. Because your heart has changed, you will automatically do the things that he is wanting you to do. You are showing love. You are showing compassion. You are changing within. You are serving others. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 4. "Circumcise yourself to the Lord. Circumcise your hearts, you men of Judah and people of Jerusalem, or my wrath will break out and burn like fire because of the evil you have done." Circumcision. Even in Jeremiah's time, Jeremiah is talking to people who don't want to listen to God. They don't want a relationship. And Jeremiah is going, look, guys, God is calling. He's calling you to come back. And what are the people doing? No. And you'll also see throughout the Bible, it'll say, you uncircumcised hearts. First of all, that was a huge insult to a Jewish person who looked the part, acted the part, but didn't have it in the heart. Huge insult, because they're like, I've done everything I need to do. I am circumcised to God. Your heart hasn't changed. God wants to change your inner nature. Thinking back as we wrap up. Have you made any progress in becoming the person God wants you to be, God desires you to be? So over the past few years, have you grown? Has God moved you in a direction in any other way? Is God changing your heart? Is he changing your mind, your will, the things that come like this? Is God moving those in his direction where he wants you to be? Do you find that you are able to love others more, or do you still struggle with loving others? Do you find your perspective on things moving in a kinder, more patient, more forgiving, and more generous way? These are things you need to ask yourself when you have a relationship with God. Am I moving closer to him? Am I becoming what he wants me to be? If those things are happening, then guess what? God is changing your heart. If you've stopped and haven't moved in any direction, maybe you're not listening, maybe you're in a different time, maybe you're struggling going through something, and that's fine. There are times for that. Scripture talks about that as well. But if you stay there forever and don't move towards God, you got to get back on your knees and you got to pray. You got to ask God for direction. If you find yourself not having a kind heart towards others, if you find yourself not loving others just because of the way they look or how they act or whatever, if you're prejudging, that's a religious spirit. We want to love, accept people unconditionally, even if they think differently than us, even if they're not perfect, because we're not. And so as we close up, today you're going to witness a baptism. And a baptism symbolizes the commitment made to Jesus, a circumcision of the heart, a change. And it's a symbol, like we did today, we took communion that was a symbol talking about Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross. Baptism is the old going under and the new coming up, changing, going in a direction towards God and not away. The choice is up to you. Where are you at today? If you're good, thumbs up. If you are struggling, get some help. Get some direction. Because that's what God wants for you. He wants to help you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for...